The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Beth tells the story of a dream she had about Mary Beth Chapman.
That you would do that for a mother, and you took another mom, because it kind of took two women together to do the thing. I don't know who else it would have meant all that much to, but the two of us together, that you let two moms have a moment like that. That, girlfriend, is loving kindness.
The Law of Kindness, next on Life Today.
All of you, it is such a privilege to be with you and to be with you. Wednesdays with Beth. What an honor, what a privilege. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I are thrilled to literally offer you fresh water. You know, if you watch Life Today, you're going to find you'll have the opportunity to help us drill fresh water wells all over the world. And it is such a special gift. It's a gift that literally not only lasts a lifetime, but it saves lives. And it improves the quality of people's lives. And then you see us feeding people, which we're doing right now. We're feeding starving people and giving them a chance at life. Well, Beth Moore is a part of our mission feeding program. Did you know that? Not only has she gone to the mission field, and she and her husband, Keith, been a part of our mission outreach and mission support, but we really believe that she gives you fresh water and gives you bread. The Word of God. Would you welcome Beth Moore?
I got to show you something I think you're going to love. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. You're going into your New Testament. If you're getting ready for work, whatever you may be doing and can't grab a Bible, I'm going to read it to you anyway. But if you're heading toward it, you're going to go about in the middle of your New Testament. Before you ever get to Hebrews, you're going to find Titus. And I want you to hear Titus 3 through 8. We're about to get to discover where James and Betty's hearts come from, right here. Titus 3, verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish. Anybody? We were disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. This is all me. By all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness, that's a form of that word we've been talking about in the Greek. This one is Christostes. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. It says in verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. That word appeared is it's epiphino in the Greek. And guess what word comes from it? You've heard it 1,000 times. Epiphany. When the kindness and love of God was made an epiphany before us. In other words, a divine manifestation. That's what an epiphany is, a divine manifestation. It's saying, you want to know when the love and kindness of God appeared as an epiphany? When Jesus Christ walked with His feet on planet Earth and took His walk of passion to the cross of Calvary. That's when. That word kindness is the word we're accustomed to in our current series, but that word love right there is not agape, which is often, or agapao, often found in the Greek and translated love in the New Testament. That word right there is philanthropia. Philanthropia, that's our word philanthropy. Philanthropy. I want you to know that, I want to say this nice and loud to somebody, philanthropy is biblical. The worldly culture is trying to deny God but confess philanthropy. And I want you to understand something. It comes from God. any desire man has to do that, to do something out of love for humanity, is coming from the image of God, whether or not he is ever acknowledged. And what happens when he is rejected forthrightly in humanitarianism, it's nothing but humanism. He is the philanthropist. He is the lover of mankind. He is the one. He's the one that started it. I want you to see something here. I want you to know when we are of kindness to people and we show the kindness of God to them, kindness already has a Savior. It's Jesus Christ. I don't know what God's calling you to do in kindness to somebody else, but it is not to become their Savior. It's not to become their little false Christ. That's not kindness. That will never do anybody any favors. Becoming a Christ to them will never help them. But pointing them continually to the one and only who holds that authority. Kindness already well has a Savior. I want you to see the fourth one. What was that third one? Kindness is willing to look in the face of the hurting. Number four is this: kindness has good memory. Kindness has good memory. Jot down beside it Psalm 106, verse 7, and I'm going to say it to you. Kindness has good memory. And our scripture is going to be Psalm 106, verse 7, that says, "When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." Most rebellion is caught up in forgetfulness. When we go off in a rebellious tangent, we have forgotten that God has been kind to us. God has been very, don't say he hadn't if he hadn't. But I'm telling you, your God's been kind to you. And my God has been kind to me, even when we were ungrateful, even when we were rebellious, even when we were wigged out in sin, our God has been kind to us. And I love how it says it in so many plurals, many kindnesses. He hasn't just been kind. He has shown me many kindnesses. I love Hosea 11:4. Hosea 11:4 that says, "I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love, and I lifted the yoke from their neck, and I bent down to feed them." Cords of human kindness. I got to tell you a story because I think it'll bless you. I know that Betty and James love Stephen Curtis Chapman and Mary Beth Chapman, his wife of many, many years, and have had them on the program. And they are just some of the most powerful people of God you will ever meet. And perhaps you are familiar with their book, the one that Mary Beth actually wrote, Choose to See, about the story of their loss of Maria, their five-year-old daughter, in the accident involving their son in the car, and the terrible tragedy that took place as the enemy tried to take down that entire family, but every bit of that is turning back on him. And I've got to tell you something that happened because it just showed to me what I'm about to explain to you is one reason amid a thousand that I love Jesus Christ so much for. I mean, this is the kind of thing that just blows my mind about him. A number of months back, I was sleeping regular all night, and I need you to know something. In all of these 53 years of living, I just never have had a meaningful dream. And it's not been because I haven't asked for them. If there is a manifestation of God or the Spirit, I've somewhere asked for it. I mean, I'm just going, I will. And most of the time he goes, "You know what? Some people are safer with the word on the page." And so he just, I'll tell you what we're going to do with you. We're not going to loose a dream on you. So I go all these years and I'll ask him, "Oh, Lord, teach me in my dreams over and over. Let me have a dream of you tonight." I wake up the next morning, he goes, "In the scriptures." And so that's how we do things. But this particular night, like every other night, it happened just before the morning. A friend of mine was telling me just a little while ago about a dream she had, and she said it also happened just before she awakened, and we think that someone will remember it. And I had a dream, and I saw Mary Beth Chapman in my dream. And it was the oddest thing because I was in an arena, the likes of which I've spoken in many, many times through Living Proof Live. It was a large arena, and the back of the stage was like everyone I've so often seen. All these heavy cords, all the gaff tape down on it, all the sound tables, all the machinery that it takes, all the lighting, the men back behind it. I can see in my dream all of their head sets on so they can talk to one another. A scene that I have seen more times than I can possibly count. But I was back there with it, and I was sitting on the edge of one of the tables watching everything, and I was feeling my own heart, and it was interesting. I was not nervous. And I get very nervous before I speak. I've never somehow conquered that. It's just is scary. And I tend to think, like, you should be a little scared. When it's a lot of people, that's like, whoa, that's a big responsibility. And so I knew in my dream I was not the one speaking because I was not afraid. I didn't have any, and I wasn't thinking over notes. And I have recurring dreams of speaking all the time, and I'm all up in it. I can feel all my emotions. I could wake up and my neck could be splotched. So I knew, I thought, I'm not the one speaking. And so I'm thinking this in my dream. I see Mary Beth and Maria walk up in the dream as clear as could be. I can tell you exactly what Maria had on in the dream. Comes up with Mary Beth. Maria's right to her side, right about that 5 years old, kind of has on a big white collar. Those chunky bangs are down in her face. And she's just kicking around and laughing. And they come to talk to Mary Beth. And even a guy that I work with all the time was talking to her. And I could tell that she was the one about to speak. And Maria was just like twisting her almost into a pretzel right there. And I was beholding this whole thing and thinking how I could not wait to hear it. And boom, I awakened. And I mean, in that moment, my eyes popped open like this. I'm holding the covers up like this and I thought, whoa, I knew it meant something. I knew that it did. I thought that I even maybe knew what it was. I thought that maybe it was God showing me in a dream that part of the Chapman's healing, and specifically Mary Beth Chapman's healing, would be that she would minister hope through what she had been through, and that people would be able to see how it had turned back on the enemy and glory had come to God and good had come to mankind. And I felt like somehow her healing is going to come in part through her pouring it out. Now, you need to know something. Mary Beth was not speaking at this time. This is not her thing. It's not, her husband was the one out front. It was not her. So this was very out of the box, but I just was certain of it. And I didn't think that Maria was some kind of ghost next to Mary Beth. I knew that Maria was in heaven. I knew that the symbol of her in the dream was that in telling that story and in telling the redemption and healing God brought, that there would be healing to her soul and that their joyous memories about Maria would be restored and they would overtake the ones of such tragedy and such a violent kind of injury. And so I was like, whoa, what do I do with this? What am I supposed to do with that? And so I was just like baffled before God. I thought, well, okay, you gave it to me. You're going to have to tell me what to do. I don't know what to do with it. Well, a couple of days later, it was Mary Beth Chapman's birthday. And so I thought, I'm going to text her. I was at an event, and I knew she had a big thing that weekend, too. But I texted her. I said, happy birthday, my friend. And I said, listen, I was really nervous even when I texted. I said, I had a dream, and I don't have dreams. And I just want to ask you if it has any significance to you and if it's not a confirmation, because I don't think God works that way. I don't think he just tells it to somebody else. I think it comes as a confirmation. I said, if it's confirmation, great. If it's not, dump it. Don't trust it. So she writes me back. She said, that is very interesting. When are you going to call me? I said, well, I'll call you after I get home. Okay, I call her, and I'm nervous because when someone has lost a child, even saying their name, you better have a good reason. Because that's tender. Don't mess with the mother's heart. Don't mess with the father's heart. Some of you know just what I'm talking about. I thought, I'm going to bring this up, and I'm going to knock this scab off this wound. And I just, like, so my heart was just pounding. I said, okay, Mary Beth, let me tell you this. And so I went through the whole dream, every detail of it, and then dead silence. I said, well, now, I don't know for sure what it means, but I thought maybe it meant, and I began to say, dead silence. I said, whoo, I mean, the perspiration is breaking out on my face. I'm thinking, okie doke, okie doke. Suddenly, boom, she begins to sob. And when she starts sobbing, I start crying, and I'm going like, whoa, what? And she said, and Stephen is sitting right next to her because I talked to him before I talked to her. And she said, Beth, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. She said, A few nights ago, y'all stay with me here. A few nights ago, they were with a pastor friend of theirs. And she said she just was having a bad day. Y'all seeing the chills coming up on my arms? And she said she had talked to Stephen Curtis and she told her husband, I just want to dream about her. I just want to see her in a dream and feel like I'm with her again. And so Stephen said to their minister friend, it was the three of them together. He said, listen, could you just pray with us about this? Because God can say no, but could we ask God, would you just give Mary Beth a dream of Maria so that she could just see her for a few split seconds? Y'all need to know something. God did not give it to her. He gave it to me for her. Stay with me here. Because do you know what would happen to a mother that only saw her child that had died in a dream? I don't know about you, but I'd want to go to sleep and I would not want to wake up. It was too early in the process. There might come a time for Mary Beth when it would be the most wonderful thing on earth to have dreams like that. And she'd wake up with joy. Right now, if I were her, I'd want to go to bed and not get up. But you know what he did? Y'all, we figured it out. It was the same night. They prayed that night. That morning, just before I woke up, I had the dream. He gave it to somebody that Mary Beth would trust. She trusts me. Whether or not she should, she does. She knew I wasn't making it up. And she just bawled and bawled. And I was so flabbergasted. I said, does it confirm anything? She said, Beth, she said, Stephen Curtis has been telling me. She said, my daughter's been telling me that God is calling me to speak. And she said, I've just not been receiving it. But and she dealt with that part of the information later. But all that meant anything to her right then was she had the dream. God did hear my prayer. He did hear my prayer. He did give the dream. He just gave it to my friend instead of me. I tell you, when we hung up, I drove home. I just bawled. I said, oh, God, that you would do that for a mother. And you took another mom, because it kind of took two women together to do the thing. I don't know who else it would have meant all that much to, but the two of us together, that you let two moms have a moment like that. That, girlfriend, is loving kindness. That, guy friend, is some loving kindness. Kindness has a good memory. You can trust your God. We've let the mean world get to us. We've let mean people get to us. There's a kind heart in you because Jesus Christ put it there. So open our mouths with wisdom and let the law of kindness be upon our tongue.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
You know, we had Mary Beth here and Stephen Curtis, and we know what it is to bear one another's burdens, concerns, feelings. And we understand what Beth's talking about when, regardless of what's happening around you, when kindness prevails, because that is the fruit of the Spirit, the kindness that can only come from God, that springs from within. It's what Beth's talking about. Let me show you right now, up close and personal, the kindness and the compassion and the love of God expressed through one of our staff and mission workers. If you want to see Jesus revealed today through someone, watch closely.
We've spent the day in this village, and the need here is as great as I've ever seen it.
For me, it's a camp full of misery, a camp full of people who have just been through just a living hell because their villages have been burned, their husbands killed, their children killed.
We asked a little girl, what did you eat? And she said, nothing. And another woman told us, we came here and we lost 10 children. They're not asking for much. They just want to eat. Like one lady said, the child I have that survived the walk, she's now showing the signs that my child that died, and there's nothing she can do to prevent it. She just has to hope and pray that somebody will come and help.
Let's join together as Christians who should care about the poor and the needy and the suffering. Let's help them to get back to health, and we can do that by simply providing a bowl of food that brings hope.
You know, Jim Pierce, that you just listened to, has been carrying cameras all over the world now for more than 20 years with all of our mission outreaches. Janice Meyer has been to 50 countries on the mission field with us. Betty, when you hear their heart expression asking us to help, and you see that little child had all those flies, that's not something we show you to have a dramatic effect. We realize that a lot of people just automatically want to, you know, turn away or leave the channel. That's where that little child lives. That little child is just like a corpse still moving. They're that near death. And when I see those images, and I think sometimes, I don't know if I have enough ability or the words to really express adequately what I think people need to hear and understand.
All I can say is what you just saw is all true, and even more devastating. So many children that if they just had a bowl of food, they could make it to another day. And be able to continue, James, to get that nourishment to them. They'll stand in lines all day long if you let them know there's something at the end of that line, at the front of that line, when they get their turn, there's going to be something in their container for them, and it's going to be some food. Please help us.
We got a message, you remember, from Janice just before she made that appeal. And she sent us a message and said, there are two children dying every day trying to get to the lines for food. As I watched them putting the food in the bowls, I noticed that it wasn't our typical porridge mix. Sometimes it's hard to get some of our pre-processed mixes even into the area to transport them. But as I asked the question, because I said, this looks more like grains and everything, they said the mission workers did research to find out exactly what they needed to turn it around for them. That's the kind of mission workers we work with. That's the kind of people that go and plant their lives in the midst of pain and suffering by divine assignment and with the love of God in their heart. But here's the thing I want you to understand, please. We are an expression of the heart of God and an extension of His hands. We as believers, those who love God and love our neighbor. But you must understand, those missionaries are literally in place to personally, directly extend the hands, but you enable them to do it. You're the ones that put the food in the bowls. We've got 20,000 children right there where you were just looking who are dying. We need to add that 20,000 to the hundreds of thousands that we're already feeding. And we've been doing this for years, saving lives, millions and millions of lives saved, because someone like you would simply dial the number, take a bank card and use it the best way you'll ever use it. Make the largest gift you can to help save lives. Would you do it? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. You write a check, make it to Life, but call the number and tell us you're mailing it, because we need to know so we can tell the missionaries, yes, you can count on it. $30, $50, $100 feeds 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Would you make that life-giving call? Please do it. Father, I pray every person watching would move right now toward the phone, or go online and make the gift you put on their hearts so we can give life. In Jesus' name, I want to thank you. Please, I believe you're doing it. If you ever call and get a busy, you be determined. I am going to rescue as many children as I can. If you could help us save 10 lives, please do it. But whatever you do, it's important. We're going to send you some special gifts to bless you, to bless your children, to bless you in your life, and to say thank you for sharing life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference and help save a life.
In addition to the 400,000 children already in Life's Mission Feeding Program, our teams have found a region in South Sudan with another 20,000 children in need of immediate life-saving assistance. Our mission teams are in place, but we desperately need your help to replenish critically needed food supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll rush you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new International Version and new King James Side-by-Side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online right now.
You know, when you give people food and you save their lives and you help us, and I believe you will, reach out to an additional 20,000 desperate children, starving children in South Sudan, you are going to transform everything about them when you give them life. We're going to send you the book Indivisible, and I really believe that you're going to find where you need to focus your prayers and how you take appropriate action to see first transform people and then the transformation and correction of a nation that needs correction and restoration of a lot of great principles we've forsaken. So we're anxious to send it to you and to say thank you along with the other gifts to bless your children and to bless you in your life. Thank you so much for watching Wednesdays with Beth. Encourage your friends to watch Life Today, everybody.
God began to undo my view of him and bust it up.
Next week, Bible teacher Jenny Allen. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.